Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
We are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, share your comments and thoughts, and answer all of your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we're not experts. We're just podcast hosts. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Dori, we're going to kick things off with a first today.
I'm so excited.
Someone wrote us a poem.
Yay.
About the podcast.
Oh. Bless.
And then they called in and read it.
Oh.
Okay, so here we go.
Hey, Kate and Dori. My name is Carla. I have been following the podcast forever, and I wrote a poem of thanks for you guys. And so I thought I'd call in and just recite it for you. Here it goes. Hello, my friends, Kat and Dori. This is a piece I've written for a pod that I adore. How can we thank you? So many love you so. Let me list the reasons so that you two will know. First and foremost, in a world of many pods, how many will you find that give honest recs on prod? Although you may think you're just two serum talking broads, there are so many more things that you give to us, you're odd. You two are the background of my life, which really freaking rocks. I can count on the pods for suggestions, from makeup tips to Bombas socks. The guests you both host are outstanding, I swear. And the mini-apps are great for talks about butts, waxing, and nose hair. From book recommendations and taking a pause to letting go of clutter or dealing with loss. Reframing the narrative and Costco run. And sometimes the podcast includes a few puns. Yeah, you may not be experts, but that is okay. Forever 35 is a home run. Hooray! You both love an email or two voicemails in a row. I have the number saved in my phone. It ends in 0390. Dori loves the reframing, but I hope she loves the rhyme. Kate, I hope you love this too as much as you love a 5 a.m. rise time. If this poem gets read, I hope the listeners enjoy the dictation as much as we all enjoy the debacle over the mucilair pronunciation. Love you, girls. Thanks for all you do for us. Forever 35
subs. I'm speechless.
I know. I'm almost going to cry.
That's amazing.
I know.
She could.
Carla?
Wow. I'm so impressed.
It blew my mind. I don't know why I'm about to cry.
Because it's like so great.
It's so thoughtful. Kind.
Yeah.
Also
so funny.
So funny. So on the nose.
So on the nose. Rhymes. Would that be a limerick?
I don't know.
English professors, please weigh in.
Wow, do we have any out there?
I think
cool.
We do.
Wow.
I mean, I was an English major, but I don't know.
I was a women's studies major. what a privilege it is to have someone listen to our show enough to then be able to write a poem, a hilarious, funny, smart, adorable poem about us.
I'm
truly honored.
Same.
This was really awesome.
Thank you, Carla.
I just, Also, the last line really made me laugh because when I was listening to it the first time, I was like, what's going to be the rhyme?
Where is it going?
Yeah, it was like, what is it going to be? And then when it was the Meeselar pronunciation, it just made me crack up. Okay. Well, again, what a delight. Dory, moving on.
Yes, let's move on.
We had someone call in whose life was positively impacted by a one line a day journal. So I thought you might like to hear this.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I was calling to comment on Dory's one-line journal that she had begun. My mom kept a date book and was religious about writing in it, even if it was merely the temperature that day or what she ate or that she did nothing at all that day. They really came in handy when my sister and I were planning our weddings because my mom looked back and said, oh, don't pick that date. It rained all week that year. Or if it was something we were debating, what did we do on Christmas last year or the year before? She could always pull out the date book and set us all straight. My mom died 3 years ago. And we have over 20 years worth of her date books. They are such a treasure to just randomly pick one up and read her thoughts, especially when you read that she noticed something about myself or my kids. And I think, wow, she really was paying attention. And for those times when I feel like her memory might be getting a little fuzzy, I can pick up those books and she's right there with me. I've tried very often to start a journal myself or a date book and I failed miserably. So I highly support Dory's one-line journal. I think it could someday be a really nice gift to her son, and it's just a great way to kind of just let loose at the end of the day and, hey, even to record the weather every day. Anyway, I love the podcast. Thanks for always making me laugh, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
this is really sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. What a treasure to have.
I was just gonna say, like, what a gift.
Yeah. I discovered after my mom passed a giant folder of emails that my mom had printed out that were exchanged between my mom and me and my mom and my brother.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I bound them and gave them to my brother for Christmas 1 year. Also, because I didn't feel right, like, keeping their communication, but I kept the ones between that from that were written by me and written to her. And it was such a amazing gift. Now, have I accomplished this for my children? No, I am like this listener. But it inspired me hearing the impact that it had on her to have this kind of thing left behind.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It was really moving. So look at you.
Hmm.
Look at you. I will say, though, the one thing, the weather here in Los Angeles.
I was just thinking that, too. It's like 70 degrees and sunny again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everyone.
So their kids don't. They are very lucky not to need that info.
Although, you know, I could notate when it rains.
Or when there's a freaking fire.
A fire. Yep. Good point. Earthquakes.
Yeah. No, no, the scary things.
Okay. Sorry. Okay,
no. Anyway, listener, we love that. That was such a lovely suggestion. And what a special thing you have. We had a couple people follow up about scarring.
Oh, yes. I'm very curious.
Hello, Forever 35. I was listening to the most recent mini episode and have some advice for the listener wanting to prevent facial scarring. Of course, I suggest talking to your doctor, dermatologist first. I was in a bad bicycle accident a few years ago that left me with gnarly road rash on my cheeks, a split open chin, which required stitches, and some broken bones. Some of the road rash was pretty deep, but didn't require stitches. So it sounds like it might be similar to what happened to the listener. I was given something at the hospital that I think was prescription strength bacitracin. It worked wonders. See what your doctor recommends, but just wanted to say there is stuff out there that can help prevent scarring on your face. It was amazing, and honestly, things went from pretty grim looking to normal in about a week. I've also read that ye old Vaseline can help prevent scarring because it will help keep the area from drying out and scabbing.
Interesting.
I mean, just when you wanted to take Vaseline down a notch, it comes back swinging.
I thought, oh yeah, I guess if you don't want things to leave a scar, you don't want them to scab.
I didn't realize that.
I'm trying to remember. I know when I got like a mole removed from my back, they did want me to keep putting stuff on it.
Well, I always thought a scab meant something was healing.
Yeah, but I think specifically for scarring, you do want to keep it moist.
My daughter had a major bicycle wipeout and had that chin major scrape that didn't need stitches but was pretty bad. Yeah. And it's been healing for like a month. We did not do any of this. So I'm like, well,
all right,
she'll be fine. We got another email. You want to read this one, Dory?
I would love to. I'm a pediatrician and I tell people whenever they have an abrasion or laceration on their face, the following. One, keep it clean with soap and water. Two, Aquaphor ointment. Three, sunscreen. Hope this helps.
Well, isn't Aquaphor essentially in the same vein of Vaseline?
Yes.
Like a thick...
It's a thick, viscous...
thing that doesn't let any water in.
Yes, it's an occlusive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at us, experts forever.
All right, let's take a short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Dory,
yes.
I want to just have you read this email.
Hi, K and D. We need to talk about peeing in the shower while taking a shower. I find it repulsing and it's truly never crossed my mind as a toilet option. I thought surely everyone feels the same, but as I hear more opinions about it, it's sounding like I may be in the minority. Can we please take a poll and maybe address hygiene topics around it? So I am not a shower peer, but are you? You are, right?
I mean, I've done it.
Okay.
I've done it.
Okay.
I've done it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because it feels...
It feels weird, right?
I would rather pee in a toilet.
Okay.
Or just in a repository for...
I mean, it wastes less toilet paper.
That's fair. I don't think...
But I am not... I say this is a non-shower
peer. Never peed in a shower?
No.
Never once.
Never once.
I want to challenge you.
Oh, no. It just makes me feel weird.
But you're living in this house for like 3 more days. On your last day, pee in the shower here.
Oh, that feels so weird. I know a lot of people do it. And I cast no aspersions or judgment on their decision to pee in the shower. It's just not for me.
That's fine. I only do it when like I get in the shower and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, I have to pee so badly.
Oh, interesting.
It's not like
I feel like I almost always pee before I get in the shower.
I'm wondering, I need to pay more attention to my urinating pre and post shower. Mm. So I've done it. It's not a regular occurrence. I'm like a little bit grossed out by it, but I'm also like, it's just pee. Pee?
Yeah, and it's sterile.
And it's going to wash down the drain.
I mean, I will say this. Mm. If Henry pees in the bath, I don't like change the water.
Well, have you peed in a pool before?
Sure.
Yeah, right? Like, we've all peed in
ocean.
Pools. Oh, lakes. Lakes, I, like, actively pee in. Pools, I don't. As a kid, I did.
Yeah, sure. I don't actively do it now. But, like, right. As a kid, it was like, oh, okay.
I will say, I introduced, like, one of my kids got in the shower and then was like, I gotta pee. And I was like, just pee in the shower. And it had never dawned on them. And then they both caught wind of this and then would ask if they, every time they got in the shower, if they could pee. And I had to just please try to pee before you take, because they like would get in the shower and then
get,
be like
excited.
Yes, like they love.
Do they shower together?
No, not anymore. But I had to kind of nip that one in the bud. I don't know. This is interesting. I just love the urgency with which this listener approached the question. Like, we got to talk about this.
Totally. Well, it sounds like she only recently learned that it's a practice that people do.
This is my favorite part of like human existence.
Yes.
Where you didn't, and we've all had this happen to us, right? Like, you have no idea that people do a thing. And
totally.
Then you're like, I don't wash my legs.
Right. Well, this is like Alison Rosen's Just Me or Everyone thing.
Yes! That's exactly what this is. So anyway, can we please take a poll and okay. maybe address the hygiene topics around it, the listener asks. I am not a scientist nor a doctor. I don't know what the hygiene topics would be. I would love to hear from people who want to weigh in on this. Let's take a poll.
Poll. Consider it polled.
Yeah. We're polling.
We're
Do
polling.
You pee in the shower while taking a shower?
Weigh in.
And let's do it in a judgment-free way.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe we'll do an actual poll in the Facebook group.
Or on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
We can do a poll. Both.
Yes.
Our first scientific study.
Totally scientific.
Completely sound research.
I'm excited for this.
I am too.
Okay. So when this episode comes out,
yep.
we'll put the poll up.
Yeah.
And then we will discuss the results.
Yeah.
On the show. This is exciting.
I love body talk. Okay.
I'm excited that this is our first poll.
Yeah. Not about serums.
No.
Nope. About peeing in the shower.
Yep.
Thank you, listener, for sparking the convo. let's check into this email here.
Okay.
This really resonated with me. Kate and Dor. You know, the abbreviation's cat, listener, but I'm going to let it slide. Just kidding. I need some advice from you and the wonderful community of listeners that you have created. My issue is that I am constantly telling white lies in the workplace. And although I commit and recommit and recommit again to stop this horrible habit, it continues. I am an honest person when it comes to important major stuff and have gotten much better at being honest about everything through my 37 years of experience. But man, this habit has yet to fully go. Let me preface by saying that I grew up in a household where I was witness to physical abuse. I would say that is the origin of my default to tell something other than the truth to simply avoid conflict with serious consequences. I do not have trouble being honest with my husband and my close group of friends whom I trust, but it is in the workplace that I constantly trip up. I seem to, quote, never learn, even the hard way. I know that telling white lies about inconsequential things is not a huge deal, but I want to be able to build trust with those I work with. I know that being dishonest is never the answer, yet I still do it. Each time I do, I feel guilty, stupid, embarrassed. Am I truly a bad person? Does anyone else struggle with this? Why can't I just say what is true? It feels like everyone can do it so easily. Why do I struggle so badly? Any advice or perspective would be truly appreciated. Honestly, LOL.
Whoa.
So I have had a white lie habit.
Oh, interesting.
In the workplace. I did not grow up in a household where I witnessed physical abuse. I think it stems from me being afraid of disappointing people.
Mm. So like, give me an example of what a white lie in the workplace would entail.
I haven't done it in a while because I have really worked on it and worked on it in therapy. But I used to be really afraid of disappointing people and I was worried that my honest answers weren't valid.
Okay.
Or wouldn't be seen or received. So I made, like, for example, I was in a really toxic job for 8 months.
Okay.
And a truly awful experience that ruined my mental health when I was in my early 20s. And I quit the job. But instead of just saying, like, I'm not happy, this isn't a fit for me, I need to quit this job, I lied and said, I think I said my grandmother was sick and I wanted to be able to spend more time with my grandmother. I was like 23. And in hindsight, I was scared of that boss. Mm-hmm. The boss was really a toxic person. And I just wanted to like get out of it as fast as possible. And so I made up a thing that would seem more digestible rather than just being honest, because being honest would have me to have to say something a little harder, like put it on that person and be like, I can't work, you know? So
that doesn't even seem that bad to me.
But I've done it in other situations.
Like, did you take the last cup of coffee and you saying no, but you actually did? Like,
I think for me, honestly, the experience of white lying was to make it easier for me to get out of situations where I was worried people would be mad at me. And so I would white lie in order not to have to deal with confrontation or an uncomfortable conversation or the people being mad at me gives me so much anxiety. Again, I've worked on this in therapy for like a decade now. So I don't, this doesn't come up for me anymore. But I would say to this listener, be gentle and forgiving with yourself because you have so much self-awareness about it. It's not coming from a place of malice. You experienced deep trauma as a kid. And I'm sure this has, like, you've already seemed to have figured out, this has a lot to do with this behavior.
Yeah.
And the feeling that you've described of shame, feeling guilty, stupid, embarrassed, those are such debilitating, hard, awful things to have to move through. And it sounds like you're really kind of putting yourself through the ringer, like you described it as a horrible, like you're using a lot of language that makes me think you're being really hard on yourself about it. And you are not a bad person. I think it's a struggle because you probably adopted this behavior early on as a survival mechanism.
Yeah.
And I think doing work on this with a therapist will help you. I really do. I don't think you have anything. I mean, it's very easy to say, like, don't feel ashamed. But like, this is not just you white lying to like, for the fun of it.
Totally.
Do you have any other thoughts?
No, I think you're right. Like, being kind to yourself about this.
Yeah. I think, I suspect other people do this. And I think it can be very hard to change a pattern of behavior we've had since childhood.
Yes. But so, I think the fact that you've recognized it, like Kate was saying, is really important.
Yeah, you're so self-aware on all fronts about it. So now I just think you need the help and support to learn how to talk about why it's happening.
Totally.
And then to figure out how to make the changes that you want. So we see you.
We do.
And we appreciate you talking to us about this.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. All right. Let's take a pause, Dory.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to dig back into diet culture at work.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right, well, we're back.
Here we are.
Here we are. All right, I'll read this one.
Take it away.
Hi, Kate and Dory. Y'all, I had to pause the pod and write in re-diet culture at work. I also used to work in a toxic environment at an offshoot of a university system. The HR, or people wing of the university, ran an annual weight loss and most steps competition. My coworkers knew I went to the gym and asked me to join their weight loss and most steps competition group. I told them I'm a weightlifter. I tend to see an upward trend on the scale, which is a sign that I'm getting stronger, so no, I can't help you, and just refused to participate. This group of coworkers also had a Fitbit group setup that I was added to where people were constantly boasting and competing about how many steps they took. I've since thrown my Fitbit away. If the company is on the large scale of a university system, there might not be anything beyond screaming into the void that you can do. But if you work at a medium to small organization like the one I'm at now, you are likely to have a more positive response from HR if you ask them to consider how much of a bad look this is. As far as people complaining about free food at work, I've worked to reframe that kind of garbage as them trying to make me feel bad about their choices and toxic thinking. It takes work, but I've gotten to an okay place where with free work food where I sometimes just want a free bagel. And there were other times when I was just starting at work and money was tight and I was super grateful for any free food. Kate, I totally agree with either pointing out the behavior or avoiding it. You're not the asshole for avoiding toxic people at work. You don't have to be friends with everyone or even anyone if they all suck. Much love to the listener and to y'all.
And the subject of that email was on diet culture at work, parentheses, burn it to the ground.
Oh, yeah. I should say, and this was something that came up when we were discussing this issue that sometimes going to HR is not a solution because HR is sponsoring the gosh darn contest.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, this is a tricky one.
Yeah.
It's so pervasive. And I also really appreciated this listener's point of view about, like, it can be a privilege to be provided with food at your workspace. Mm-hmm. Some people cannot afford food. Like, food scarcity is real for many people. And so I thought that was just an important point to mention.
Agree.
We have a couple other voicemails about this. This is another listener's suggestion.
Hi, Kate and Dory. It's Faina here from Kentucky. I'm calling in after listening to mini episode 90. And I want to talk about corporate diet culture. It is my favorite thing to kill, very slowly with little acts of rebellion. I work at a very large company, and what I do is I honestly just kill diet culture with kindness. Like, I just overflow kindness to my coworkers. And I think it works really well for me because I'm pretty, how do I say this? Like, my brand at work is pretty joyful and boppy and bubbly. So I feel like I have the ability to do this, and the listener who called in may not. But essentially, like, you know, if someone in my periphery says something about themselves or about diet culture to me, I am very quick to shut it down by replacing it with kindness and love. So I find something to compliment about them. Typically, I'm speaking with people that I know and work around pretty often. So if someone says something like, I really shouldn't, but I say, no, you should. I say, no, you should. Like, it's a cookie, and you're really smart, and you just had a great presentation, and you should just do it. Like, whatever. Why not? And I have, like, gotten to the point where I'm like, I try my best not to compliment their physical appearance because it's not about that. But whenever someone's like, oh, like, I feel really bad about that, I'm like, you shouldn't. Like, don't feel bad. Like, this is great. You're great. We're all great. We should all eat cookies if we want to. And then finally, another thing I do is, like, sometimes I just flat out ask people. And again, because of my personality, I feel like it definitely comes off as if I'm almost joking, but not. And, like, especially my closer friends at work, if they say something like that, I'll be like, do you really think that about yourself? Like, I don't think that at all about you. Like, do you really think that about yourself? Don't you realize, like, how awesome you are? And that kind of stops people in their tracks. So I feel like it's definitely a more obnoxious way of going about it. But I'm a pretty genuine person, and I think people know that when I say those comments and when I say those things, I really am doing it with good intentions. And I think that it really causes people to reflect on the comments they make and the thoughts that they might have about themselves. Okay, love the pod. Kill diet culture. Love you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
I love it too.
Kill diet culture. Okay, one more listener. Wade in.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm calling because I'm making dinner and listening to the most recent mini episode where someone asked about how they can interrupt diet culture talk at work. It is super pervasive. And I would just say that as a fat person, it's always my hope that thin folks take the lead on this, because when you are fat, the pressure is on you to either make yourself more comfortable by, like you said, not sitting with the people that do the most egregious diet talk or whatever. And this is where, if you want to be an ally as like a thinner bodied person, this is where you can step up and interrupt that diet talk in the same way that you would interrupt any other kind of oppressive talk. Thanks so much.
Yes. Yes.
How to be a good ally.
Yes. Such a great reminder. Thank you, listener.
Yeah.
Totally. I fucking love our listeners.
I do too. They're so great.
I mean, it is. When we are not recording, all we do is talk about, like, what a freaking privilege and honor it is to have the listeners that we have. So thank you for weighing in with all your brilliance and thoughts and shares and comments and poems.
Everything.
Embarrassing stories, theme songs.
Yeah.
Peeing in the shower questions. We could go on and on, Dory.
But we won't.
Nope. Instead, we're going to end here.
Yep.
Thank you all so, so much.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.